Well, let's speak to the doctor here. This is Dr. Anna Whale, lecturer in psychology at the University of Leeds. Hello, Anna.
Hi.
Now, you've been researching the relationship between memory and learning here at Leeds University. So I imagine you're quite glad that this day of the body clock is being talked about. What have you found in your research?
Yeah, it's been really interesting to hear this issue being talked about so much today. And we've basically found that you do need a good night's sleep in order to learn new information and to integrate that with your memory.
And Richard was telling us there about working through an entire day, then the following night, and then being there when, say, a big act was loading the truck up to go off to another venue at 3-4 in the morning, and then just carrying on through. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that people need different amounts of sleep, and some people can become very used and very effective at functioning on less sleep. So that's obviously the case with Richard. His body clock has adjusted. But nonetheless, I think it is concerning that so many people are struggling on less sleep than they need, because we know that people are more prone to accidents, prone to lapses in memory, going to be less efficient, for example, in the classroom if they haven't had enough sleep.
What about the kids thing? Because I'm aware at night now. I mean, I only got a smartphone last year, and now at night I'll check the news, I'll set my alarm clock on it, I'll then think, well, I'll just look at those emails, and I'll fiddle around looking at a little screen as I was probably last night, 11:30 at night. And if I'm thinking of kids, perhaps an hour later going to bed than I was at that age, is that a big deal?
Yeah, I think it is a big deal. I mean, I'm a developmental psychologist, so my interest has been in the way in which sleep promotes learning in young people and children, and we've shown it is important. And there's no doubt at all that being on these gadgets affects the quality of your sleep. It's pushing bedtime backwards for a lot of children. When I go in and talk to teachers in school, one of the things they're most concerned about is that their pupils are tired and therefore not ready to learn.
Richard, let me ask you about that. I mean, obviously the technology has really changed hugely in the last few years, certainly since the Queen's Hall closed. I mean, are you somebody who is peering at a little screen, that blue light coming out from it?
Yes. I'm a big iPhone fan. I think we all are now, on iPads, because that's technology. But I think I agree with him, because now, for instance, my grandson, you know, he has to be, we time it, he's in bed at 7 o'clock, 7:30, he's only 15 months old. Now, the problem he has now is, because it's a light night, his time clock has gone to sleep for 8 o'clock, which is very interesting, that, because of the time difference, and it's taken 2 or 3 weeks for him to adjust again.
That's an interesting point, Anna, of course. I mean, the seasons have always changed.
Yeah.
We've had different habits. Some of us need more sleep, some need less, some of us are doing funny shifts. Where do you see this going?
Well, in terms of how it affects young people and school and interaction with technology, I mean, I'm the parent of a teenager myself, and I think it's not enough for us just to say, you know, teenagers have got to switch these gadgets off, because it's part of their life. They're digital natives, if you like. They've grown up with this. It's very different, certainly when I was as a child. And I think it's about, we need to educate our young people about the importance of sleep and how they can use these things sensibly.
Yeah, but I've got a teenage daughter, and you'll know as well as I do, it's quite a hard thing to persuade that young person who's up in their bedroom to switch the thing off. You don't know what they're doing. I can't just barge in there now. I mean, there are some health issues thrown. It's a bit like some of these smartphones saying they'll stop you texting when you're at the wheel. Mm. I mean, there's some real challenges there, aren't there?
Well, there are certainly, and that's what I'm saying, really. We can't just expect to tell teenagers not to engage with these technologies. It's just going to be another battle that we have with them. So that's why it's important to educate them so that they can make those choices for themselves. But we all know, ultimately, they are going to be using these things, and it's pushing their bedtime back.
Be honest, Richard does it, do you? Late at night, I'll just look at my phone, I'll just check whether there's any emails. Do you do it, Anna?
Yeah. Absolutely, of course I do. And being a lecturer, my inbox is always full. And it's not only the blue light that's disrupting your sleep, it's the stress that comes with that, and the kind of the knowledge that you're contactable all the time. You ought to be on call, if you like, all the time.
Well, you know what? I'll say thank you to you both, and no need to look at a screen while we've been talking for the last 5 minutes. Richard Moncrief, thanks very much, Richard. Nice to hear you.
Yeah.
And Dr. Anna Whale, lecturer in psychology at the University of Leeds.